Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, this is Pat Iyer with Legal Nurse Podcast, and today I'm going to be talking with Hugo Garcia, who is an entrepreneur and a speaker who educates small business owners on the importance of a strong digital presence. He teaches them about how to convert online visitors into customers. And I know from having marketed to attorneys how important it is to have a strong website to be able to create a list of people who are interested in your services, and you will be able to follow up with them. So we're going to explore that topic in this podcast. Hugo and I met at a conference earlier this year when he was an exhibitor talking with people about the company that he's involved in, which creates websites and so much more. Hugo, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could join us today.
Thank you for having me, Pat. It's a pleasure. It was really nice meeting you, and I've been looking forward to this for a while now, so I'm glad to be on here, and thank you for having me.
Oh, you are so welcome. I'd like to start with having you talk about why it's important to have a strong digital presence. Why is that impacting small business owners? Why can't they just expect that attorneys will find them some way?
I mean, that's a great question. And one of the things that is really important to remember is that it's not always the best people at what they do that are the busiest. It's the ones that know how to market themselves. And that starts with having a strong digital presence. Nowadays, you have to compete with so many people trying to do the same thing. You need to find the ways that make you stand out as a professional, and that includes treating your business like a business and making sure you have the right foundation, and that all starts with your website.
You know, I know that you've been involved in this field for a while, and websites have certainly evolved a lot. My first website was in 1996, and it was a very simple HTML site, and now we've got all kinds of options for websites. I know that a certain number of legal nurse consultants are drawn to the idea of going to a site where they can get a template to use and create their own website in a couple of hours. Can you give your thoughts about whether that's an effective way to create a website?
Sure. I mean, I meet always two types of people. People who kind of don't know anything and are trying to figure out as they go. And I also meet people who know too much and spend too much time on it. And the idea is you're here to help your customers. So when you can find a resource, or when you can make sure someone is doing it, or what I like to say is, you know, let someone who is an expert at what they do focus on what they're good at, so you can focus on what you're good at. And that's making sure you're available to these calls or customers or doctors who are looking for you. And you probably, as an entrepreneur, you know, at least from my experience working with a lot of solopreneurs or people who kind of do everything on their own, have very limited time on what they're doing. And it almost doesn't make sense to spend too much time on a website. And if you look at some of the websites that people make on their own, they kind of look homemade, right? And you tend to attract that type of customer as well, right? If you have a professional website that stands out, looks sharp, makes you look like the expert, then you tend to attract that kind of professional customer as well. And they're more likely to work with you, demand higher prices. Like if I went to a website and it looks crappy and they're trying to charge me a certain amount of money, I don't think that they can. Like, I'm like, look at your website. I don't believe that your services are worth that much, right? And so if I go to a professional site, I can see, okay, this person looks like a professional. They've worked with a lot of people. I can definitely see why they charge this much. And this is something that I know I need.
Well, suppose I'm an attorney looking at a legal nurse consultant's website. How would I know the difference between something that looks homemade versus being professionally completed by a website professional?
Yeah, and that's a great question as well. And it all starts really with the positioning of the information. You got to remember, websites are like dating. People know within the first 7 seconds if they want to move forward with you. And at a glance, information needs to be available to the user. Say the lawyer needs to be able to see the information that he's looking for right away. People are used to instant gratification and don't like wasting their time. So at a glance, information needs to be available. And most of the time when people are building websites, they're thinking of what they want it to look like, not necessarily of how easy it's going to be for the user to find what they're looking for. And that's what is important, to make sure the website has a layout or a format where at a glance, everything is available to them. They know what you do. They know what services you provide. They can see who you are, and everything is reflected there on the website.
You know, you brought up a good point that sometimes when I go to legal nurse consultants' websites, there is a description about the person, but there's no picture. Do you have any kind of a gut reaction if you are looking at a website in terms of expecting to see what the individual looks like who's running the business?
That is super important. Websites are highly image driven. And even if you think about it on a different level, like if I went, like I just recently moved to New York, and when I was looking at websites or ads for apartments, I did not waste any time looking at those places that did not have any images of either the apartment being occupied, the apartment unoccupied. Like, I need to be able to see what everything looks like, right? And envision myself that this is an actual legit listing. And for people, especially for this particular field, people work with you because of who you are, right? They have other options, but they choose you because of your personality, your warmth, your likability. And if you're not having any images of yourself on there, how am I supposed to connect with you? How do I know if you're even a real person? Like, these are the things that you got to keep in mind, because people have very limited motivation and you have to give them a reason to want to move forward with you. One of the things or trends that I've noticed, especially with the popular websites, is having beautiful images that covers the screen, the edge of the screen to the other edge of the screen, right? Mm-hmm. The screen imagery. And then what takes that to another level even is having a video playing on the website. Right. And I just looked for a daycare for my son, actually. And we were looking at different places, and, you know, websites were kind of like whatever. And then I found a place with this nice video playing, and I decided to click on it because it wasn't playing out loud. And then I just saw like testimonials of families about how wonderful their kids' experience was. I saw a couple clips of the kids playing at the daycare, and like all the like little activities that they do, the little snacks that they provide. And it just made me feel a connection with this daycare. And so I obviously moved forward with them because they had more personality on their site than other people. And I think that's what people are looking for right now, because your website is like a way of building rapport before they actually even meet you.
Mm-hmm. And what would your reaction have been like if you walked in the daycare and it was a stock video that you were looking at and it didn't match what you actually saw in the building?
I would be extremely disappointed. I would be heartbreaking, because that's exactly why I move forward, right? And I think you've brought up a good point. It's a really important thing to make sure that who you are and the services or images that you provide on your site are true to what you offer. And having that honesty is key. I mean, even if it's like a small hole-in-the-wall restaurant, if that's the images they have online, but they have great reviews and they have, you know, a really nice site, and it still makes it, or tries, makes that extra effort to look professional, I'll be worth it. I would be open to going into that place. And so, yeah, it's very important to keep a consistent message and to prove that you're a real business by having honesty, honest photos and honest videos. And people want to be able to connect. And I think that's why, you know, businesses like this get business, because they can connect on a more personal level. So it's important to do that with the images and videos.
Tell us about what you think is necessary in terms of the pages of a website.
Yeah. So, you know, SEO, one of the major components of it is the content that you have on a page. Pat, a lot of people don't know how many words they need to have on their homepage, right? And how many words they need on every other page after that. Mm-hmm. And those are things that are constantly changing. So like, 1 week, Google will say it's 350 words on the homepage, okay? And then the next 3 months, it could be 400, could be 450. It's an ongoing changing game. On top of that, most people don't know that they have to update their website 3 times a month at least to be recognized as a real business. Because if you just have a stagnant website that is just up there, it's not going to get you far with SEO. It's like having a Ferrari with no engine. It looks pretty, but it's not going to go anywhere, right? And so a lot of times, a lot of businesses don't know, okay, so Hugo, you're telling me I have to update my website 3 times a month. How do I do that? Well, blogs. Blogs is like one of the best things that you can possibly add to your website for SEO. And the reason for that is not only are you able to update your website consistently, so more than 3 times a month possibly, if you're writing consistent content, but also it lets you sneak in repeating keywords. Now, a lot of times keywords are very difficult because you can't repeat them too much inside of your original content on your site, but you can add or find ways to add more of the same keyword through a testimonial, for example, through a blog post as another example. Say I was a photographer. My website says Hugo grew up and decided to be a photographer. He got inspired by famous photography and so on. All right, so now I can't use those keywords too much without sounding repetitive, right? But then I can have a testimonial with the word photographer highlighted, right? And it could say something like, Pat thinks, or this is what Pat Ivers said about Hugo. He's the greatest photographer I've worked with in LA. Okay. Or another person could say, as far as wedding photographers go, Hugo's the go-to guy. Right. So these are ways you could sneak in SEO keywords into your testimonials. And then on a blog post, you can talk about other photographers if you wanted to. Like photographers that inspired me. Like when I grew up, my uncle was a wedding photographer, and I can write about that. And that includes the keywords wedding photographer and a whole bunch of other stuff, repeating it in my website. But it's not redundant in the sense that Google knows it's a blog post and it's content that I'm creating and giving to my followers or my people who are actually engaged on my website. And so, you know, it's important to keep up with those trends, and it's difficult to do that while you're managing a business as well.
Well, let's lay a little groundwork and mm-hmm. talk about what is SEO. I know you've used the abbreviation. Some mm-hmm. of our listeners probably don't know what it is, don't know why it's important. Let's go through a little bit of that piece so that it helps our listeners who are at a more basic level. This is Pat Iyer. Do you want to create or improve your LNC website so you can attract the right attorney client to you? This is a topic I covered in my book, How to Get More Clients: Marketing Secrets for LNCs. You don't have to figure this all out on your own. One of my newest books ramps up your knowledge of marketing with 4 sections: marketing foundations, marketing online, marketing with stories, and marketing with exhibiting. It's part of my Creating a Successful LNC Practice series. You may order this book at http://lnc.tips/creating-series. That's all one word. And we'll ship it right out to you. You'll get a 25% discount on the book by using the code LISTENED that tells us you heard this podcast. That link again is http://lnc.tips/creating-series and use the code LISTENED in the coupon box on checkout. Let's continue with the show.
So it has to do with the likelihood of someone being able to type in keywords to find you. Now, keywords can be the service that you provide along with the area that you cover. And each page on your website can get up to 3 or 5 keywords that you get to work with. And then the way SEO works is Google looks at multiple businesses and it rewards those businesses that put in the extra effort to stand out and provide more information for customers. Okay. So for example, you can have a website. A lot of people do. You can have a mobile-friendly website. That's an extra step for SEO. You can have really good content. Okay. So how do you become competitive? How do you stand out? How do you get Google to rank you higher? So there's several aspects to SEO that are incorporated. So you have headings, which is what you title certain articles or certain parts of your website. There's the headings on how you title your images. So like when you upload an image, like say you take a picture and you want to put it on your website, most of the time images have like a stock name like IMG034, whatever, right? And you want to actually change that to the keywords that you want to be found by. That's another way to work on SEO on your site. So if you're a legal nurse, maybe the picture can be a legal nurse documentation, right? And so you can have that image, name that, and that's another way to put in keywords, okay? On top of that, there's also what we call backlinks. And backlinks are really cool because, you know, a lot of people wonder why all the time bloggers make money. Like, how are these bloggers making money? How are they getting all this free stuff? Why are they getting all this free stuff, right? So Google actually ranks businesses with backlinks a lot higher because what backlinks are links that send people back to your website, okay? So let's say I'm a skin therapist and I'm reviewing all these facial treatments and skin treatments. And so a company reaches out to me and says, hey, I want you to review my product and I want you to create a blog post for it. And so then this me as the blogger, I will review this product. And of course, I will add a link, this said backlink that sends people back to this products page when I'm writing my blog post. Now, me as a blogger, I've generated a following. That's my value to this company. So I have, say, 500,000 followers, and then I'm writing this post, sharing my post to my followers, where they now have access to this link. So now when Google does a crawl, and it's looking at all the skin products out there, it's going to see, okay, well, these two skin products, they're the top products. You know, both are on social media, which social media is a whole other animal for SEO as well. They are both, you know, their websites have SEO. It's all done nicely. But this one skin product that did the backlink for the blogger, because of the ranking and how high the following is for this blogger is, this backlink pushes them up on the rankings. And so the more backlinks you have, the higher you can rank. And so there's very simple backlinks like the directories or publishers that you can list yourself under, like Facebook Business, Google Business, Instagram Business, Google My Business account, right? These are all places you're creating links that can send people back to your site. So Google sees these and recognizes them as backlinks that they can use. And so if you're not even doing just those at the bare minimum, you know, like you're already a little bit behind as well. And so SEO encompasses the backlinking. You're talking the keywords. You're talking the social media aspect. I used to work for American Airlines, and we had a team. We had a team of 10 people, literally just responsible for answering complaints or, you know, people bad-mouthing the company on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. And so our goal was, if someone was, say, they posted a mean tweet, we would respond, apologize, offer them a free upgrade or a free flight or something to help them remove that bad ranking. Because Google also pays attention to social media. And so just having social media is not enough. You have to be engaging with your customers. This is why influencers who are YouTube famous or Instagram famous are so popular with Google and making money with them, because they are so engaging with their audiences, right? It used to be like, you know, growing up, Robin Williams was one of my favorite actors, okay? I could never talk to him. It would be impossible. I would have to bump into him on the street, right, for me to have some sort of engagement with him. Mm-hmm. These influencers on YouTube or Instagram, these are people that if I commented enough or message, they respond to you. They respond to you. They acknowledge your comment. They like it, or they say, hey, thank you, right? And the fact that they're engaging with the customer is the difference. And that also helps boost your SEO, right? You need to stand out against your competition. So if you have social media, reach out to people. Like, hey, like, look up, use the hashtags. Those are free leads for you, right? So if you look up the hashtag legal nurse, I'm sure you're going to find other people who are either in the same field or are looking for that. And you can comment, hey, come check out my website. Or, hey, if you ever need assistance, please let me know. I'm in your area. Right? These are things that you need to be doing to stand out and have Google see, okay, this business not only has an SEO-friendly website, they're engaging online as well on social media. And that's how you prove you're a real business too, right? Because if you're just Joe Schmo's office and you're not doing anything, how does Google know you're real? Whereas American Airlines, which is a legit business, is doing a great job on their website, has great content on their blog, is super active on social media. You need to have all of this to really like stand out against everybody. So the more you have under your belt, the higher you're going to rank, the easier it's going to be for you to stand out against your competition. A lot of times people fear that it's a lot of work, takes a lot of time, and it's really not hard. It's just committing to it.
You know, I had a conversation today with somebody who's in my coaching program, and she was telling me that one of her colleagues had a person creating blogs for her. Mm-hmm. And it was an effective use of her time to delegate that, because this individual felt to write a blog would take her all day. And I was kind of shaking my head trying to understand that, because I can write a blog in 45 minutes, mm-hmm. maybe an hour, you know, from the concept to the images, but I've been doing it for 10 years. So mm-hmm. what do you say to somebody who says, well, writing a blog would take too long, or posting on social media would be too time consuming, or I don't have time to tweet, or, you know, whatever the function is that's important, that you've just defined as being important for presence. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to make this whole process easier, more efficient, less time consuming? Or are those just myths that it's not time consuming?
I mean, it just depends on how active you want to be. Like, you know, for a company, like I'll give you, you know, the example of Kylie Jenner. Okay. she's not doing everything herself. You know what I mean? She is doing a lot, but probably not everything, right? She's not the one writing up the content on her blog. She's not the one coming up with the concepts for the makeup. She's just a face, and she knows how to market.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Very well, too.
Very well, exactly. And so I want people to know that you get into something what you put into it. I mean, sorry, you get what you put into it, basically. And so if you aren't the strongest blogger, then you hire someone who can blog. If you are the only one who knows about that topic, though, I would shy against that, right? If you're the expert and it only comes from you, if you don't want to write, film a video.
Mm-hmm.
Do a vlog. You know, we're in 2018 where people are literally subscribing on YouTube to influencers. Like, I have a bunch of people I follow on YouTube that do meditations, that, you know, provide breathing exercises. And these are not audio. These are visual. And sometimes that's even more entertaining, right? Because you get to connect with people. I'd rather someone, especially who works with me personally on a personal level, like, I'd rather them connect with me and see my face and get away from this fear of not being accepted online, because, you know, everyone online is a bully, regardless of whether you're doing amazing work or not. I mean, I've gone on Tony Robbins' page and he gets ripped by everyone. And, you know, some people really swear that he's a great person and does really help. And then you also have the people who, you know, despise him and really tear him apart online. There's no in between, right? You're going to have to, I think in any business, build thick skin, because you got to realize that you're doing something that you love and you're fighting for your own business here. Right. And this fear of failure is something that I think a lot of people have lingering, or maybe it's a fear of success, however you want to see it. And for me, it's like, you know, a lot of times people fail at what they hate doing. So you might as well fail at something that you enjoy or you love to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that you make time for what's important. You know, I have a son. I'm bi-coastal. I live in New York. He lives in LA. I'm constantly flying back and forth to see him. I also speak at different conferences. I've met you at a conference. You know, like, I am probably, you know, constantly trying to squeeze things in, and I make time for what's important. That's what it comes down to. You make time for what is important. And if you're going to have a business, you need to treat it like one and make time for what is necessary for you to do. And if you don't have the time truly, there are sources out there that can handle those things for you, that will take care of certain aspects of your business for you. Maybe not everything, but, you know, at least the parts that you shouldn't be worrying about, which is the technical side, because you're more there for your services, not necessarily the social media SEO website part. You know, those are things that you can easily delegate to other people.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're stressing a really great point. Many legal nurse consultants who are in that solopreneur category that you're describing are so used to doing everything that it's hard to think about delegating and trusting other people and using resources of skilled individuals who know a particular area well and can be trained to be of value to helping that business owner.
Yeah. I mean, when you are signing up for a gym, right, and you really want to get the most out of it, it's probably smart to get a trainer if you've never used any of the equipment before. I can't tell you how many people expect to just show up at the gym every day and hit their goal immediately. If you're not familiar with how to use the machines there, if you don't know what aspects of your diet you need to change, if you don't realize that, you know, there's a certain, like, you have to focus on 100% of your body, not just the parts you want to fix, right? If you don't have someone to train you to do all this, then it's going to require a lot of time on your end to learn all this, right? So you have the option. Do you go and you research as you're paying for this gym membership, or do you really take advantage of it and have a trainer train you and kind of hold you accountable and make you, you know, force you to stick to what your goals are? And that's kind of the other thing that comes with delegating. It kind of, like, you know, a lot of people are like, well, if something happens, right? Well, this is kind of holding you accountable. This is like, all right, now I have this person here working with me. I need to keep up my end too. Mm-hmm. You know, and that in a sense also helps push people. And I think that's important. Like, I just got a trainer at the gym. And let me tell you, I've noticed more in 6 days with him than in 5 months at the gym without him. Okay. And, you know, a lot of it comes with me probably being a little lazy, but, you know, knowing how to use the machines properly is a big, big help.
Mm-hmm.
Big help. So, yeah, I really think that, you know, the thing with small business owners, even myself when I first started, is the lack or the fear of losing a little bit of control. For me, that's what it was, right? Like, no one's going to do it as good as me, maybe, or I want to be on top of everything. But then if you ultimately want to grow your business to a business that's bigger than who you are, right, where you reach more people than just your clientele, like, because I as a small business owner, I can help maybe 10 to 20 people a month. But as an actual like company owner, right? Like that's spread out and does more, we can have thousands of customers, right? So I guess you also have to ask yourself, like, where do you see yourself? What is your goal? Where do you want to go?
Well, tell us a little bit about Shore, how people can find out more about you, and what does your company do?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, they can go to shore.com. That's S-H-O-R-E. .com. And we actually do three things at Shore. We build websites, we build mobile apps, and we also offer an online booking software that works as a CRM.
And a CRM means what?
CRM stands for customer relationship management. And so this actually ties hand in hand with the website, because a great website is awesome, but it's almost useless if you're not able to capture people's information. Right? You need to be able to have an opt-in or an appointment set up so that you can capture people's emails and mobile numbers and their names, because there are people who are interested in working with you, but if you don't have that ability to capture their information, then how are you ever going to know? Right? And then there's two types of customers. I don't know if you've ever heard the green strawberry and the red strawberry story.
I have not. I'm interested.
Okay. So there's two types of customers. There's the green strawberry, and then there's the red strawberry. The green strawberry is the person who's not ready yet. It's not ripe. So they want to work with you. They're interested. They've been to your site, but they're not going to move forward right away. So maybe something like an opt-in to a newsletter or some free information would be something that you can use to nurture this green strawberry, right? And then you have the red strawberry. These are the ones that are ready to pick. The ones that are ready to take action, move forward, and they want to contact you. And you need to also have the tool to set something up to speak to them, right? And that starts with the online booking. And that's why our software works so hand in hand with the website and being able to capture people's information at the time that they're at your site. And then having them make an appointment when you're available. Right. Nowadays, I see a lot of websites with contact forms, and people are like, yeah, you know, I get every now and then I get a person messaging me, but it's okay. It's not that great. Well, think about it. Contact forms, I work 9 to 6. If I fill out that form at the time I get home, which is usually like 7:30, I have dinner with my son, put him to bed. By the time I'm filling it out, it's probably like 9 or 10. Chances are you're not working at those times. So you won't get back to me till the next morning at 9, probably, when I'm already at the office at work again, where I can't reply to you right away. So we're doing this constant back and forth of planning a time, and you're missing out on that opportunity. So that red strawberry that was like ready to move forward, you know, what happens to strawberry after, you know, you take too long? It just diminishes. It becomes mush. And so if you don't give them the opportunity to be picked, you're going to end up with a bunch of mush. And so if you really think about it, how many customers have, if you have a website, like how many customers have you already missed out on because you didn't cater to the green strawberry and you didn't cater to the red one?
That is a great point, Hugo, and I appreciate you bringing that up. And I so appreciate you being part of our show and sharing your expertise with our audience.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. You know, I'm always happy to help out. My mom was an entrepreneur, and she didn't always have the tools available for her. And I think that's what inspired me to work with small businesses in particular and do what I'm doing, you know, to be able to provide those tools and that knowledge, because if you empower people, it's amazing what they can do, and just so on. Like if I do this for two people and then they go on and do it to others, it's a beautiful thing.
It is fabulous. And thank you so much. You've been listening to Hugo Garcia in Legal Nurse Podcast. You may reach him through Shore.com, Shore.com, a company that specializes in website and customer relationship management, as well as online booking. Tune in again next week for Legal Nurse Podcast, and thank you for being part of the show.
Thank you, Pat.
And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on LegalNurseBusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at LegalNurseBusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month Clubs, my membership site, LNCEU.com, gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at LNCEU.com. And my last website, the LNCAcademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at LNCAcademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at LNCAcademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.